For WFHB in Bloomington, this is Hereabouts,
a collaboration with the IU Asian Culture Center.
Welcome to Hereabouts. This is your host, Joyce Lam. In this episode, we will be highlighting Indiana University's Asian Culture Center's 20th anniversary. We invite former students at the university to talk about their involvement towards social justice, awareness, and change. Today, we invite alumni Kaiying and Dr. Paul Park to discuss where they were when they were here at IU and where they are now in the current walks of life. I have Kaiying, a graduate from 1997, who will now share her story. Hello, Ms. Yang. Thank you for being on the program. We are so glad to have you speak with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So I wanted to talk about your time at IU. A lot of the institutions that you have founded are still here and prominent, not only in our community, but also at IU today. I wanted to know more about the history of how they came to be and what mental barriers or general obstacles that you had to face to make that idea a reality. So tell us about your involvement within the community when you were a student and how you found ways to make a change.
Great. Yeah, I look back fondly at my time at Indiana University. So I was born in Vietnam, and I came over as a Vietnamese refugee in 1980. Instead of going to California or New York, I ended up in a small town in Indiana. Growing up there, we were one of the few Asian families in that town. When I was choosing a college, I ended up at Indiana University, and it turned out to be one of the best decisions I ever made. The reason being is I really found a family there that helped me understand who I was as an individual and what you could do if you got a group of people together that had a vision and had a passion and could really make a difference. And it's so great to hear that some of those institutions, some of those concepts that we fought for, you know, back in 1993 to 97, is still around 20 years later. So coming from a very small town, being one of the few Asians, when I first arrived at Indiana, it was probably one of the first times I got asked, where are you from? And so when I got to IU, that question came up a lot. I really started thinking about who I was and digging into our family history. How did I arrive at IU? How did we end up in the Midwest? And then again, at college, you're exploring who you are as a person and meeting all these people from like Chicago or came from the West Coast and had very different experiences than yourself. As I was meeting new people, I wanted to get more involved, and that's where the Asian American Student Association at the time, AAA, was where I found my group of friends that really got me through the Asian American Association. We started First Asian American Heritage Month, which, again, was just an idea about how to get people together around food and then also maybe share some of our culture with them beyond the food. And that became a huge hit throughout the years. As I went throughout college, one of the things was we realized that just having these student associations, every year, students change. So you always graduate. So every 4 years, you had all these friends, but then you left. How do you leave something behind that has like a legacy and a lasting impact? And I think that that's where the Culture Center came around. What is like a physical building that would represent the lasting impact and the contributions that Asian Americans have contributed to IU and its history and Bloomington as a whole? And so that was another idea that came by talking to my friends, you know, late night at the library, really thinking about like what could we do that could have a lasting impact. So one of the things that I've learned through my experience with IU is you can't do it alone, right? You have to come up with the idea, but then figure out how to work with others to really bring their skills and their values inspire them to act. And so working with the Student Coalition, working with some amazing women, I also founded the Kappa Gamma Delta, which is the first Asian intra-sorority in the Midwest, and back at IU 2 years ago for that anniversary as well. So I look back at the time as a time where, you know, you have these ideas and you think, oh my gosh, like there's no way these ideas could come to life. But if you really bring together a group of folks that have similar passions, you can make a lot of things happen. And it just blows my mind that it's still around and so much better than we ever thought it could be, and that it's continuing to give back to the community as a whole. Now, one of the things you talked about was just barriers. I think at that time, we didn't think about the barriers, right? I think you're pretty idealistic when you're at college, because it's the time where you're really learning who you are, what you stand for. Nobody's telling you you have to go to class. Nobody's telling you, like, this is, you know, what you should be doing or should not be doing. And so I think this idea of just having fun and trying to make a difference, we didn't think about like what was in our way, but more about what was possible. And through learning and applying those learnings, that's how we succeeded. It was not about limitations or barriers. It was around like, what kind of cool idea could we come up with? And can we get others to agree that that would be a great idea? And then how do we go about making things like that happen?
It's really amazing to hear about the reasoning behind the change that you as a pioneer have made, and the ideas and was thought about when these institutions were created and made for a difference. Now, you're obviously no longer a student, but you're now an IU alumni. For those who don't know, what are you up to now since your time at IU?
Yeah, so I currently work as director in data analytics group at Allstate Insurance, and is the largest public insurance company. Very much so embodies this idea of inclusive diversity. It's one of our key core values. And so what it has taught me is how to bring myself to work. So Allstate is actually my seventh company. So I've been in November, it'll be 10 years. I now use data and analytics to help deliver this great customer experience for our Allstate customer. And so a lot of that pioneering innovation is still being cultivated in me today in my work. And so that's one of the key things I've learned is the values that I learned at IU and things that I learned how to do to work with others. I use it every day at work today, constantly thinking about how do I make things better for the community? How do I make things better for our customers? And how do I work with people globally to make this happen? So not only in terms of work from a corporation, I've integrated the values and what I'm really good at. I've then applied that to the community as a whole. So I'm on the board of Asian American Advancing Justice because the community is broad in nature, and I wanted to take the skills that I've learned and apply it to Chicagoland as a whole. And so Asian American Advancing Justice Chicago is a nonprofit organization that builds power through collective advocacy and help organize to achieve racial equity. So knowing that I've come from an immigrant background, I wanted to make sure that immigrants today in Chicagoland area have those same opportunities that I had many years ago when I first came to the U.S. Through Asian American Advancing Justice Chicago, I'm able to apply the same values and the same skills and feel good about how I'm improving Chicago as a whole.
It's difficult being a minority, in which being a data analyst, I'm sure that you've seen statistics that show that among those who do hold high positions in the corporate world are not of women or Asian American women, for that matter. You mentioned that Allstate is your seventh company. So I ask, as a woman and as a fellow Asian American, how do you succeed without hiding your identity and who you are and embracing your heritage to succeed as a woman minority figure?
So I think the first thing is really to know yourself, know who you are, and then be able to share that with the world. So the story I would share was when I first came out of college over 20 years ago and joined the corporate world, I didn't talk about how I celebrated Chinese New Year. I didn't talk about how I didn't share a lot of my personal stories, because growing up as an Asian American, you don't talk about yourself. You keep it all inside. And so what I've learned is that is holding me back, because it's important that people know who you are and what you stand for. And it took me a long time to sort of integrate some of the Asian cultural values with some of the Western cultural values. So in Asian cultural values, they say, you know, don't talk about yourself, keep your head down, and you'll be acknowledged. Typical Western culture is, you know, try to be the center of attention, right? Be the charismatic leader, inspire people. And that wasn't me either, because that didn't feel right. And so I went through a mentoring program, and that was a pivotal moment for me over 7 years ago. And what that taught me was really understand what is the values that are true to you. And for me, it is about giving and about community. When I looked at the lens of like speaking up and sharing my ideas with others, it was through the lens of giving and community. And by doing that, I knew that I wasn't showboating when I was like sharing my ideas. It wasn't because I wanted to be the center of attention. It was because I wanted to give and I wanted the community to get better. I wanted the idea to benefit from my perspective. And so because it was aligned with my values, it then helped me show up as myself. And then by showing up as myself, it became very authentic to people, right? Like people understood that that's just who Kai is and that's what she's really good at. But then I really developed my own leadership style. So I would say that there are challenges to being an Asian American woman in looking to become a chief executive leader. But I'm not going to use that to put me back. And I'm here to break the mold of what you think a leader should be. Typically, you think a leader, you know, is a white male that's gone to an Ivy League school or something like that, right? Like, there's all these stereotypes out there. And it's good for me to know that, but I can't be that leader. Somebody already has taken that role and they already, like, that's who they are. But I've learned to know who I am, know my values, and know what I'm good at. And that's how I lead every day. And when you do that, it actually is incredibly easy to show up as a leader because you're not pretending. There's a lot of energy to try to pretend to be somebody that you're not. And in this way, now there's room to grow and be who I am. And then I always make it a responsibility to help groom other leaders as well. So again, that goes to my value of giving. I'm always trying to help others find their own path to being the type of leader they want to be. And the world is changing rapidly. There is no one leadership style. There is no one way of, you know, like all leaders look like this. They're all cut from this cloth. Because those types of companies don't survive in this new world. You need to have diversity of thought. You need diversity of experiences. And the consumers, our customers are changing. And so corporations looking for these global leaders, these leaders that know how to collaborate with people of different backgrounds, of different communication styles. And through that, we'll solve these new problems of the future. And that's where it's really exciting space where there's corporations, there's nonprofit, there's government. And these new problems, you're going to get leaders that know how to operate within those different communities and bring that together to really make changes that are going to be good for the overall society.
It's amazing to hear firsthand about your story with integrating who you are into the workplace to make that accepts these qualities to be a great leader and to be successful. What you've accomplished sends a message to those who are discouraged by factors that they have no control over. So I ask you, if you have something to add to what we've spoken about so far, or a message to those out there, what would it be?
I think my message is just to continue to give back. I thought that I needed to reach a certain level in the company in order to give back and share. What I've learned through mentoring is 2 years into working at a corporation, I could have given back to maybe the college seniors that were looking for a job, to be able to share what my experience was like in terms of interviewing, what it's like to be the first person in your family to be part of a big corporation, and what, you know, what are some ins and outs of that. So I would say that the message would be, at every step, you can always give back. You don't have to have achieved a certain status, because the learnings that you've learned, if you could share that with someone else, will help them get there faster. And then that just raises the level of quality and the level of competence of your fellow IU alumni or your fellow Asian American, your fellow women. I've learned that there are ways of giving back that I had thought wasn't even possible.
It's always so great to reflect and to see how these crucial moments where a change is made, and to really magnify or analyze how it starts with an open dialogue between close ones or those who we trust. I just wanted to say thank you again for being on the program. It was such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I really enjoyed sharing some of the experiences that I had. I'm looking forward to being back at IU and reliving some of the good memories with my old classmate there as well and my sorority sisters. So it'll be great to be back on campus.
That was Kaiying sharing her story regarding how she and other like-minded individuals decided to protest for an Asian culture center at IU and how her passion for social justice trickled into the workplace. This is Joyce Lamb on Hereabouts. I'm here with Dr. Paul Park, an IU alumni. Dr. Park graduated from Indiana University in 2004 and stayed at IU for medical school until 2009. Since leaving IU, he then continued his education at Duke University in pursuit of a Master's of Science in Global Health. Dr. Park has worked at numerous institutions and currently holds a position at Harvard Medical School as a clinical instructor and at Partners in Health as the Director of Implementation. Hello, Dr. Park. Thank you for being on the program today. We're very excited to discuss your journey at IU and your career.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
So I wanted to talk about first, your time at IU. I read that you founded and you served as the first political advocacy chair in the Asian American Association. I wanted to explore the campaigns that you've organized while you held this position. Could you tell us about the position for those who don't know and in context, the political atmosphere of that time and how the chair served the community?
Yeah, certainly. At that time, I was a junior in undergrad in Bloomington, and I had always had an interest, and I always knew that there was a part of me that would get easily excited and just enthusiastic and fired up when it came to issues surrounding social justice. And at that time, there was a shirt that actually came out from Abercrombie and Fitch that was very much promoting racist stereotypes towards Asian Americans with caricatures and slogans. Abercrombie did not immediately remove the shirt off itself, and so there were protests across the country, especially on the East and West Coast. And in Indiana, there was a small group of students from various Asian student groups. Went there, and, you know, I wasn't really involved in Asian student groups. You know, I'm from Indiana originally. I actually didn't have any Asian friends until coming to undergrad, and so it was definitely a foreign concept to have Asian friends, but I just never knew that that existed. And I was, you know, of course, upset and angry by the T-shirt campaign of Abercrombie, but I also told myself that I need to get more involved and I need to do something about this. I can't just continue to be angry on the sidelines. I approached Melanie at the Asian Culture Center. She was very excited to meet me and, you know, she was supportive and introduced me to the president of the Asian American Association, who was also very interested in having more of a political advocacy stance and culture within the organization. And so he decided to establish this new position and invited me to the board. So I agreed. That was really the start of my involvement. And I would say in the beginning, there definitely was an uphill battle of trying to get students within the organization and across campus to become active, come to call out meetings. You know, it definitely wasn't an easy start, but, you know, as we were steadily able to raise awareness about different issues on campus, then, you know, we were steadily able to get more participation and, you know, have political advocacy and activism be a legitimate part of the Asian American Association on campus.
Since leaving IU, you've embarked on a long medical journey that gave back to many communities, and still, in light of your advocacy endeavors, it's always so inspiring to see another Asian American pursue such altruistic endeavors. Could you elaborate on your role and what inspired you to partake in them?
So I think it's important to know that, you know, obviously when people ask me why I'm doing what I'm doing now, one of the core values that drives me is the fight against social injustice. And so I think that that is a common theme that you'll see across many fields of advocacy. I think one thing that some of my peers today are surprised to hear is that I always will tell them that my interest in fighting against social injustice did not start with healthcare disparities. It actually started with racial disparities. So this really comes back to my time in undergrad, my time growing up in Indiana, in high school, in middle school, et cetera, facing racism head on and dealing with it first at a personal level and then ultimately at Indiana University at a systematic level. And that really cultivated not just a stronger awareness and compassion for those who are suffering from social injustice, but also an awareness and empowerment that I, as an individual, am able to do something and to lead and to gather additional supports and try to make a difference and try to overturn and reverse some of the social injustice that's happening, whether it's to individuals or systematically. And so, today with my work, I very much view it as in line with the advocacy work I did at Indiana University, except now as a physician and a public health specialist, I can, one, provide direct care to those who have been neglected by the system and those who are falling through the cracks and aren't able to access health care, which I do believe is a human right. Additionally, I'm able to work at an advocacy level. I've been able to spend time advocating for greater access to healthcare, both in the U.S. and abroad, on Capitol Hill, at international meetings in front of the World Health Organization and other global entities. And the tradition has continued. I really do believe that the values and leadership skills that I was able to cultivate through the Asian Culture Center at Indiana University and the Asian American Association really are still with me to this day and have allowed me to continue fighting against social injustice.
Could you tell us about the programs that you've participated in, such as but not limited to Partners in Health, AMPATH, and Indian Health Service?
AMPATH is a wonderful program led by Indian University. It's an academic partnership between a consortium of North American medical universities, as well as Kenyon University, Moi University Teaching Hospital. And with that partnership, they have been able to not just support the clinical education of young Kenyans and young North Americans, but also support the direct care delivery of HIV and other illnesses, which can be difficult to access care towards in that setting. So my work there was initially as a student and later as an internal medicine resident, primarily focused on implementation. So what we mean by implementation is working together with local partners to understand the gaps in care and then designing innovative solutions to fill those gaps in care, and then actually executing that solution and ultimately monitoring and evaluating to make sure that your intervention was successful. And so that type of implementation work in terms of improving health systems at a local level is something that I absolutely enjoy, and it's really what drew me into the work, secondarily to my interest in social justice. And so I've really taken that on as a profession. I consider myself an implementer, and now as the director of implementation for the non-communicable disease team at Partners in Health, I'm able to focus at macro level, focusing on four countries that we are supporting. So those are Rwanda, Liberia, Haiti, and Malawi. I previously lived in Rwanda for 4 years, so I have a lot of experience I'm able to take from there in terms of non-communicable disease implementation and spread those ideas and work together with the Partners in Health colleagues that are based in those four countries and act more as an advisor, a colleague, a collaborator on how to solve their local gaps in care in terms of accessing non-communicable disease care in especially rural settings. And then in terms of Indian Health Services, so while I was in Rwanda, I would come intermittently back to the U.S. for a couple months per year doing some clinical work. And the last year, I was fortunate enough to work in New Mexico and the Navajo Nation. And that was really my first exposure to Native American health delivery. And now living in Boston, there is a small reservation for the Wampanoag tribe in Massachusetts. so I'm able to commute there a couple times a week. And you know, as many of you know, the story of social justice towards Native Americans is heartbreaking, and it structurally is still having a major impact to this day. And structurally, they're still facing a lot of injustices based upon the system in which we live in. Now I'm doing my part to, you know, be an additional physician, to see patients, to, you know, listen to them and support the team on the ground to try to identify innovative solutions to fill these gaps, in addition to providing direct patient care. You know, unfortunately, a lot of these reservations are very understaffed. And so when I signed up to be an additional part-time physician, they were extremely, you know, excited, not necessarily because of me as an individual, but because, you know, they need a lot of support and there aren't enough staff in this population, as with many other populations around the world. And so I've been very honored to be able to serve this group of people who, you know, absolutely are facing social injustices.
What advice would you give someone within the Asian American community to do his or her part and give back to other communities as well?
Well, I think as an Asian American, you know, part of the unique challenge that we have is our public visibility. And so, you know, part of giving back, especially as a representative of the Asian American community, is being present and being visible. And I think that Asian Americans, unfortunately, we can be seen as being more insular or not being as publicly present among mainstream society, and, you know, we may not be seen as integrated. And so I think being visible is important. And obviously, you know, anytime you do service-oriented work, that's wonderful. And, you know, there's so many different ways to give back. But I think Asian Americans should always keep in mind that when they do show up, not only are they doing great service towards that vulnerable population, but they're simultaneously representing the people and showing that, you know, we as Asian Americans do have a diverse set of interests that go beyond our family unit or go beyond our immediate community, and that we really do care, especially in the context of the United States, that we do care to be part of the greater good.
Thank you for sharing your story with us today. It's always so inspiring when we see someone within our community who was once in our footsteps as students to make such a great difference for the greater good and other communities as well. Thank you for being on the program again, Dr. Park.
Yeah, no problem.
This is Royce Lam, and you were just listening to Dr. Paul Park talking about his fight for social justice. Thank you for joining us today on Hereabouts.
You've been listening to Hereabouts.
Hereabouts is produced with the IU Asian Culture Center and broadcast from WFHB in Bloomington. Our theme music is by Eternal Youth.
Tune in to Hereabouts every other week from 5:30 to 6 on Wednesdays right here on WFHB.